This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got periods of sun and clouds this afternoon, a high temperature near 80. The five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, it's the calm before the storm of earnings on Wall Street today. Right now, the Dow is down 41 points. The NASDAQ is up 3. The S&P up just a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index, however, is falling 0.5%, led by losses in Coeur Mining and Grainger. But investors are not going out on any limbs today. They've been expecting what could be a year-over-year drop in earnings for the first quarter, which would be the first loss in several years. And earnings could be the deciding factor. The founder of the Sevens Report newsletter says, good Chinese economic data, positive trade news, a milder sounding Federal Reserve, all have been priced into stocks, so it's going to take something else to move the averages. Today, energy shares are helping push the NASDAQ and S&P positive with a big jump in crude futures, up close to $2 to $65.85 a barrel. That thanks to confirmation from the U.S. waivers it offered to 8 countries to allow them to buy Iranian oil without U.S. sanctions will expire next week and will not be renewed. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Joe. And on today's Noon Business Hour, we're checking the latest economic reports and also taking a look at Instagram's newest decor.
Also, oil continues to rise. We'll talk about when it begins to impact the wider economy. And Stock Picker Monday, an investing pro joins us to give you some advice for your portfolio.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Restaurants, it seems, are investing Instagram-friendly interiors in an effort to draw young female customers. We're going to talk about that in our next segment right now. Fresh data showing a nearly 5% decline in the sales of existing homes, while the week ahead includes corporate earnings and major players in technology, energy, and consumer staples. We welcome Gary Kaltbaum, who is the capital management and Fox News business contributor. Gary, thanks for joining us today. If we had some data about existing homes that was low, wasn't that... That's connected to last month as well. It's not the same thing.
Well, it's fleeting numbers. I'm always a big believer in the major trend, not just 1 month here, 1 month there. Fact of the matter is, we were just down to 2.5% 10-year yield, and I think that's going to help in the months ahead as long as we don't spike back up. I think housing's fine. Actually, housing stocks in the market are near new yearly highs. And I think that may be saying something.
So the housing market is, how is it going to be as we head into the summer months?
I think it's okay. I don't think it's special. I think it's the high end is not doing as well. That's only because the price got crazy. So demand's backed off. But I think overall we're okay. I'm hearing a lot of people saying there's disasters ahead. Not so sure of that just yet. I do know subprime lending is again picking up, which does not thrill me because it's something I warned about back in 06 and 07. But as of this second, I think we're in decent stead here.
What do you make so far? Obviously, there's lots to go, but what do you make so far of earnings season and what you've been seeing coming in?
Not great, but better than not great. The expectations were for a pretty good slowdown. So things a little bit better. What interests me more than anything is what's the reaction going to be to earnings that are not great. And it hasn't been bad. I was noting earlier that something like a Pepsi earnings were flat and the stock went up $6 last week on the numbers. If we see more of that good, if we see the opposite of that, not so good. And, of course, there's a few thousand other names to report here real soon, so keeping fingers crossed.
What do you make of some of these tech names, Facebook, Amazon, getting ready to report? Obviously, different businesses and different business models, but in general, the tech sector.
Facebook's earnings are decelerating. Facebook sales are decelerating. They came out with a bad number last quarter, and the stock gapped up, so go figure. I think their numbers are going to be flat. I don't think they're going to be great, but I do know Instagram's doing well, Facebook not as well. With Amazon, they guided down. So we'll see whether they beat that guidance. All I can tell you, both those stocks are acting pretty decent right here, both getting good money flows this second. But I'm a big believer. I'll let the numbers come out, and I'll let the reaction show me, and I'll go from there because I really don't know how it comes out just yet.
Is technology going to continue to command the markets?
It always has, always will. I can go back a few decades. If technology goes into a bear market, the rest of the market's going to follow, and vice versa. I think right now technology remains strong. Semiconductors have led up. It's my number one group that I follow. And there's been a slew of these software names that nobody's ever heard of. And I'm talking about 25, 30 names that have shot near new yearly highs on very good growth stories. So if they continue to work, I think we're going to be in good shape. But again, a few thousand names to report here real soon, and the jury will be out.
We have the Japanese prime minister coming to the White House to talk trade later on this week, at the end of the week. That is not even close to a situation like it is with China, right? Is that a sort of a friendlier situation?
Yeah, China's the big matzo ball right now, and I suspect both China and the U.S. Trump politically need to get something done. I think they will get something done. I think it'll be less than meets the eye, but it'll be sold like the greatest thing ever, and we'll just move forward. My biggest worry is enforcement, because China has never really stayed true to their word going back, and that's why we have to do stricter deals. And again, only time will tell us. I gather if a deal's announced, it probably helps the market. China just put $1 trillion into their system in the last 3-4 months to stop stanch the bleeding there in the markets as well as the economy. Seems like things are a little bit better there. Again, the long term is what counts, and my overall worry long term remains gargantuan amount of debt and deficits in the system, both here and around the globe.
Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. Always good to have you on the show. You can check out Gary's website at GaryK.com.
Deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
From fun bathroom wallpaper, neon signs, custom tiles, restaurants are investing in Instagram-friendly interiors to attract young female customers. Joining us now, Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, for the longest time now, we have seen pictures of people's food all over social media. Are restaurants now starting to pick up on the importance of having it all look good?
Absolutely, Cisco. In fact, there was a great article. We just did a story on it last week, where there was a guy who's an engineer in New York City who actually created a bot that would go out and scrape pictures off of other people's Instagram accounts, which is legal, put them on his own Instagram page, and then another bot would send out an email to restaurants saying, you know, I'd be happy to do a post for you if you give me a free meal or a gift card or whatever else. He only has about 25,000 followers. And according to this article that he wrote on his blog, basically he's inundated by all these restaurants giving him free food.
And it's simply because as people scroll through on Instagram, if it looks good, then there's a greater likelihood of them going. And that's really as good as some sort of an endorsement, like a written review.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you look at, unicorn foods, whether it be from Starbucks or a bakery or whatever else, Instagram has made these products. Food is very visual. Short of smelling it or tasting it, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And you have these people. I know a few chefs. I go out to dinner with them, and they're taking pictures of other people's foods, and they've bought these apparatuses for their iPhones to have proper lighting with it, all of that, and it's become very, very important to restaurants. However, there are restaurants that also have signs up now, please do not take photos, you know, of our food, because it's disturbing to other people, other diners as well. But there's no question that restaurants love it. It brings them business, and in return, they're spending a lot of money, whether it's free food or even paying some of these influencers to post about their foods.
Do we expect companies like Instagram to be healthy 10 years from now? Is this just a boost right now, or is this part of the way Americans do things?
Well, Chris, you know, I think that based on all the political impact that we've had from Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, I think that it's going to have to change and have to evolve. I do think that when we look at food, recipes and food is number one on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. So clearly it's a great media vehicle for food. The question is, how is it regulated? How do we get past, you know, these people who are just scamming to get free food?
So when it comes to these restaurants responding, what are they doing to, I mean, is it all decor focused on looking good? What are they doing to try to take advantage of this?
Well, you know, first of all, they're making sure that the plates that come out look great. They're investing in new tableware, investing in new, you know, tablecloths, just trying to make everything look as good as possible versus, you know, the kind of pictures that when we go to a local Chinese restaurant, that it looks like the picture was taken, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, just wanting to freshen it up for sure. Phil, thanks. Always good to have you. Phil is the founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil Lempert joining us. Still ahead, we'll see what's moving Wall Street.
WVBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at today's business news, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Chris, Wall Street seems to be trying to ease back from the holiday weekend slowly. The Dow is down 41. The NASDAQ is up 8. The S&P higher up by just 1 point. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down more than 0.5% now, though, on a 6% drop in Grainger shares. Now, on Wall Street, energy is holding losses at bay as crude oil futures jump $1.68 to $65.68 a barrel, thanks to word from the White House that it will not renew waivers it granted to 8 nations to continue buying Iranian oil without facing U.S. sanctions. Saudi Arabia said it will adjust production accordingly to try to keep things stable. President Trump tweeting he will not nominate Herman Cain, after all, to sit on the Federal Reserve Board. That at Cain's request. Opposition from enough Republican senators, however, had indicated the nomination would not fly. And it is a different world for Generation Z when it comes to pot. Gen Z shoppers have only known a time where cannabis is edging towards acceptance. And with legal marijuana already a big business in the U.S., analysts expect it to get even bigger as the generation most likely to spend on cannabis will start hitting the workforce full time. Let's check in now with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Joan. Grain markets are lower as we go through the noon hour. A warmer, drier forecast for this week, and commodity fund selling has been the negative feature. This afternoon's corn planting progress report is expected to show 7% of the corn in the ground, versus 3% last week and 12% on average. Corn futures are 3 cents lower across the board, beans 2 to 3 cents lower, and the wheat market 6 to 7 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codo.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Oil prices surge to their highest levels in almost 6 months.
A visit with our Monday afternoon stock picker.
And tensions remain high in Sri Lanka one day after bombings kill close to 300 people.
The Supreme Court will take up LGBT job discrimination cases.
Markets are mixed. The Dow Industrials now down 45, the S&P up a fraction, and the NASDAQ up by 5.
Mix of sun and clouds in Chicagoland throughout the day, and a nice warm one in store as we're headed to a high of 79. Right now, 72 O'Hare, 74 Midway, 72 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, let's take a look at the stocks today. They're trading mixed. Joining us with the latest on what's moving on Wall Street is Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. What do you see in the markets today, Jeff?
Hey, Chris, you are absolutely right. We are seeing a little bit of a mixed bag of nuts today in the stock market, but it's interesting. We are in the heart of earnings season, and this week we have Boeing. We have Tesla. We have some really great names, Microsoft. So we have a nice cross-section of earnings, but this is the heart of earnings season. We've had pretty low expectations, and thus far, Chris, we have seen the markets continue to stay elevated. The S&P 500, only about 1% away from its all-time high, and earnings season thus far has delivered some great forward guidances, and also at the same time some great profits.
We're looking like at Boeing, for instance, which has been having some problems out of the air. What do you see there?
Well, it is interesting. Yes, Boeing has been in the headlines for quite some time, ever since they had the tragedy, and they're trying to still figure out that. But whenever you see a name like that, a Boeing, which had just a tremendous move up in 2018, whenever you see a year to date. Still remember, Boeing's up nearly 19% year-to-date. So there are some great names out there. These are names that we actually have in our Essential 40 portfolio. These are names we want to own for the long term. But it is hard to mute all the noise surrounding Boeing at the current moment, Chris.
Now, you talk about the long term. Is that one of the reasons that Boeing hasn't struggled as much over the last several weeks as it's been having these challenges? People are really seeing it as a solid company poised for the long run?
I think it's exactly right, and you get it reinforced in 2017 and 2018, the growth, the dominance they have in their marketplace. Yes, this has certainly been a headwind to see the latest news cycle, but I think with the fundamentals are still strong in the company, that's why you continue to see the year-to-date still outperform the S&P 500.
What do you make of Kraft Heinz? Obviously, it's had some struggles. Now a new boss. Is that what it needs?
Well, Cisco, I think that's the understatement of 2019. We have seen Kraft Heinz really off. Like to use the term, take it out to the woodshed. And, being down 42% in the last 12 months, it's been really rough sledding over there. But I do think today is a big new chapter for Kraft Heinz. And the new CEO that came in today, Miguel Patricio, you remember he was the CMO over at Anheuser-Busch, InBev. And he's coming over and he's got a lot of headwinds. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of that is in the rearview mirror. You saw Kraft Heinz have to write down about $7 billion. That was that one precipitous drop last year in February, that one-day drop of nearly 30%. They took a big write-off, about $7 billion, basically admitting and kind of confessing, Cisco, that they overpaid for a lot of acquisitions. So now, if you look in the S&P 500 at its peers, those consumer staple peers, it's trading at about a 50% discount. So I'm not saying today's the day to buy Kraft Heinz, but it certainly is being offered at a wonderful discount.
So, Jeff, do you have any sleepers that you watch to see how they're doing, and most of us don't know about them?
Well, we do like a couple names. We've talked about Palo Alto Networks before, PANW, and we really like the tech sector. So if you're a little bit more adverse to really dive into a specific name like a NVIDIA or a Palo Alto Networks, look at the technology ETF. An ETF is a basket of different technology stocks. So an ETF like XLK, that really gives you a broader swath exposure, because I think tech, even though it was repriced in Q4 of 2018, I think tech has continued to be a long-term ownership play that we like at KKM.
And technology will continue to be the big guy.
I think that's right. We are seeing financials a little bit waking up from their hibernation. We are seeing these low interest rates in the 10-year note kind of facing some headwinds, but financials, by and large, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Citi, some of these names have really outperformed, and we're happy to see the way they've reported earnings. So I think financials are, even though they're not in our top five from a relative strength perspective, I think financials is something to keep your eye on, and that ETF is XLF.
Do you advise at all anything defensive at this point? Obviously, you want to have a balanced portfolio, but given what you expect, say, over the next 12 to 18 months, how defensive would you encourage people to be?
Well, Cisco, I think you bring up a great point. And when you see the VIX, we talk about the VIX, that's a measure of fear in the market. When the VIX is this low, people do raise their eyebrow and wonder if there's some type of complacency coming in the market. But what's interesting, we run a lot of ETF model portfolios, and we're always looking at relative strength, trying to stay with trends that are strengthening and more importantly, stay away from trends that are weakening. But one trend that is really strengthening, which may surprise you, is utilities. So look at Duke Energy. You know, Duke Energy is a name that we like, we have in our portfolios, but we also can look at XLU. That's, again, an ETF that gets you exposure to a broad, diverse swath of different utility companies in one trading vehicle known as an ETF. So XLU and utilities have come onto our radar, and they're in our top five of relative strength sectors right now.
Is Wall Street really dialed into not only the China trade talks, but the end of this week, Japan is in town for trade talks. Is a lot of what is expected already baked into the market, or do you see movement when some of these deals are done?
I think there's a lot of optimism baked into the market. I think that's right, and that's why we're seeing the stock market really vault and get close to these all-time highs. But one thing that we've noticed today, look at the crude oil market, up about 2.5%. That's due 100% due to the Iran waivers. If you remember last November when crude oil was trading around $70, that was in anticipation of a supply disruption out of the sanctions that were going to be reinstated on Iran. Well, now we're seeing last November, the United States of America gave about five different dispensations or waivers, if you will, to five different countries to still buy oil from Iran. Well, now they're coming out and saying, the administration is saying, we're no longer going to extend those waivers, and we're going to really see some type of sanctions being reinstated on Iran. That's moving the price of crude oil. That's moving a lot of the inflation measures that the Fed looks at. So I'm a little concerned about the potential fallout on some of the geopolitical tension based out of Iran.
Yeah, a lot of things going on in that area. In fact, coming up in our next segment, we will talk about this surge in oil prices. Will it weigh on the wider economy? Thanks for being with us. Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Oil prices have surged to nearly six-month highs, just about back into the $66 range. The U.S. is aiming to cut Iran's crude exports down to zero. Joining us to talk about it, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group, also a Fox Business News contributor based here in Chicago. Phil, so we're up more than 2.5% today. Again, we almost reached $66. What do you make of what's going on overall, and what's going on with Iran?
Yeah, I think what's happening right now is the market's starting to believe that Donald Trump was serious this time when he said he was going to get Iranian exports down to zero, and the market is starting to react to that. And there's a real concern in the oil market that if we actually get to the point where Iran's oil supply is totally cut off, that it's going to significantly reduce global supply and drive up prices. So that's what we're seeing right now. It also raises the geopolitical risk of higher prices because we don't know how Iran would actually act if they actually saw their exports get cut off to zero. They may lash out. They've threatened, for example, to close one of the world's most important waterways, the Strait of Hormuz. So a lot of things could happen, and I think we're seeing that being reflected in the higher prices today.
Is it really possible to get them down to zero? I mean, it seems like there will at least be someone out there who's willing to deal with them.
You know, usually when prices get low enough, they'll be able to find somebody to buy it at a discount. But the Trump administration has made it very clear, if we catch you, there's going to be ramifications. We're going to hit you with sanctions. So a lot of people in the global marketplace would rather deal with the United States than they would with Iran from an economic viewpoint. So there's going to be a lot of incentive for people not to get on the wrong side of the United States because they don't want to be hit with sanctions.
So for the traders on Wall Street,
this means that we're probably in a new era of rising prices, at least for the short term. It probably means that oil prices in the United States are heading towards $70 a barrel. It means that we're going to probably see $3 a gallon gasoline this summer and nationwide, not just here in Chicago. So we're going to see higher prices. And the thing you have to remember is it's not just Iran that we're talking about when it comes to risk factors on supply. You still have Venezuela. Their production's continuing to fall. You still have risk from places like Nigeria, a potential civil war in Libya. All of these things are happening at the same time, right ahead of the summer driving season. So it isn't really good news if you're planning a vacation and you plan to drive a long way because those gas prices will be higher.
So we're talking about the economy, too.
We really are. I mean, you know, the thing is that even though we've seen gasoline prices go up a record amount of days. We haven't really seen that much pullback from the U.S. consumers. You know, retail sales have been great. Gasoline demand's been near a record high. And so far, the U.S. consumers have been taking the price increases, I don't want to say with a grain of salt, but it really hasn't impacted their behavior. But if we start seeing gasoline prices shoot up to $3 a gallon or $3.50 a gallon, you will see the consumers start to pull back and hang on to their wallet.
Yeah, very, very sensitive to pricing, for sure. Phil, thanks for being with us. Phil Flynn, Senior Market Analyst at Price Group. Up next, a money pro joins us with a pair of investment ideas. Stock Picker Monday.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday here at News Radio. WBBM joining us with a pair of investment ideas. Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck. What's your first pick today?
My first pick for an investor looking for some growth and a little bit of income is Cypress Semiconductor. It's a chip manufacturer. They are in the Internet of Things, so they're producing chips for all kinds of products, going to washing machines, refrigerators, more importantly, cars, and connectivity. Connectivity means Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So this is a company that's extremely well-placed for the expansion of chips into literally everything, and that's why it's called the Internet of Things. The stock has come down a little bit because of the chip sector being a little bit oversupplied, but it already looks like chips are bottoming out and have begun a recovery, and that includes Cypress. It's already back to 16, but I think there's a lot of upside, and it's a great long-term holding. Estimates for this year are a little over $1, $1.08. For next year, $1.22. That means it's trading at 15 times this year's earnings, which is cheap, and 13.2 times next year's, which is even cheaper. If you want exposure to chips, this is a great place to get it. And it's in a very, very nice position within the industry where with the Internet of Things, it's going to benefit from the expansion of chip usage in virtually everything.
And it requires the consumers who want the next thing in technology all the time.
It's a way to ride the entire technology wave, which is going to continue for many, many years. And this is just a nice, safe, in my judgment, way to play that longer-term trend.
All right. So the first pick, Cypress Semiconductor, CY. What's your second pick?
My second pick is oriented for income investors, people who are looking for income. My choice is Enterprise Transfer, symbol ET. It's one of the biggest natural gas and product pipeline companies in the United States. That means it's also an MLP, a partnership. That means you get a K-1, not a 1099. So it's not a great pick for clients who need something for their IRA accounts. This is really something that belongs in a taxable account. The yield on it is very high. It's about 8%, 7.9%. But that dividend or that distribution is covered not quite two times by cash flow. So the coverage is really quite exceptional. The stock has come down a lot, like all of the pipelines, because all these companies got pretty leveraged. The market turned against them, and they all got hammered when oil prices came down. But this company is extremely well-placed. They've got many pipelines coming on stream, so capital investment has been very high, which is one of the things that people hold against them. But free cash flow is tremendous, and that cash flow is going to grow even more as the pipelines come on stream. A bunch of them have come on already. More are scheduled to come on in 19, still more in 20. So there's a tremendous amount of growth in cash flow coming here. Debt was high, but it's coming down. They're using some of that cash flow to pay down some of their debt. They've got a massive capital investment program still ahead. Much of it in the pipeline space is probably going to wind down. But somewhere down the road, they could turn on another project, a Lake Charles gasification project for exporting natural gas. It would be a massively expensive project, but they've partnered with Shell, which will take half of the ownership of the project, half of the cost, and probably a lot of the exported natural gas.
All right. Thank you, Chuck Lieberman. Appreciate you, Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management. His two picks today, Energy Transfer, ET, and Cypress Semiconductor, CY. WBBM News Time 12:55, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Baird. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco oil prices are fueling just enough power to limit losses on a generally flat day on Wall Street. The Dow is down 38, the NASDAQ up 12, the S&P adding 1. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.5%. Grainger shares leading losses there, with investors worried about a slowing industrial economy pressuring its profits. Crude oil futures, meantime, are up $1.79 to $65.79 a barrel. After the Trump administration announced no more waivers for countries buying Iranian oil, those waivers run out May 2nd. Boeing is trying to get its airline workhorse, the 737 MAX, back into the air after two deadly crashes. But there's more behind Boeing's almost 1% loss today than that. The New York Times says shoddy production and weak oversight at its plant in South Carolina could be raising questions about the 787 Dreamliner. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.